Welcome to the sixth and final sermon in our sermon series entitled, Why the 21st Century Needs Christianity. Today's sermon title, The Human Soul and Christianity. Open your Bible to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, and let's begin.
O Lord, you are the resurrection and the life. You promised that whoever believes in you will never die. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that you would make us alive together with Christ. O Lord, I am stunned by the excessive riches of your grace in kindness. The riches of your mercy changes the way I think. The riches of your mercy elevates my emotions. The riches of your mercy improves my choices. Pray that you would perfect us so that we can be influential for Christ in the 21st century. Amen. What makes us truly human? I've read that DNA randomly sequenced by random natural selection produced random biological functions, and we randomly call ourselves human. The problem is, that's not what my soul says to me. My soul says I'm more than a biological function. I've read that the crafting of tools humanized us, and because we could use tools, we began to think in different ways. I like tools as much as anyone. I don't even have to know what they are. I like them. But I can also tell you this, church. There isn't a tool made that the human soul can use. I also read that the impulse to produce art raised us above our primitive state and stimulated a creativity in us that changed everything. Art is majestic in many beautiful ways, but the human soul needs something more than a beautiful painting and sculptor. Read those who say, a village life civilized us into our specialized human condition. When we started living in villages, we had to behave differently, and we became more and more human. I really don't know about you, but I don't enjoy living in small villages. I've lived in small towns where everybody thinks they know your business. I'll take a little bit bigger town where you can have a little more space. Can I have one amen or no? I believe I'm not human because my DNA got randomly banged around and incidentally produced me. I believe I'm human because I was created in the image of God. I'm capable of thinking thoughts like God. I'm capable of feeling higher emotions like God. I'm capable of making noble and meaningful choices like God. And I also believe that my soul is immortal. Someday this DNA body will wear out, but my eternal soul never will wear out. Who I am in my thinking, in my emotions, and in my pattern of choices, that abides forever. And I'm truly human because God made me in some way very much like himself. If I was made to be like God, why is humanity so messed up? If we bear the image of the Almighty, How did we mess things up so much? Well, the 21st century, just like every century before us, damages the human soul. Living in the world you live in wounds and damages the soul that is created in the image of God. The Apostle Paul said, "It's so bad that you were dead in trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Here's what Paul is saying. You weren't created for the ugliness of the world that we live in. And so day by day, this ugly world with its disappointments, its betrayals, its failures wound us. I want to prove to you this is true. The CDC says in the last 10 years, from 2007 to 2017, drug overdoses in America increased 95%. 95%. Souls are so damaged that just one more chance at numbing myself seems worth it. If that isn't bad enough, the CDC says from 1999 to 2017, suicide increased by 33%. Ladies, I'm sorry, but you are leading the way. And ladies' suicide increased 53%. We're living in a world that crushes and damages our soul. And people reach a point of emptiness, loneliness, and despair that somehow or another, executing themselves makes sense. The deeper we descend into the way the world has organized itself, the greater the damage it does to our soul. If I don't have a way to push back on the way the world is organized right now, I am defenseless and my soul will grow more and more wounded. My thoughts will become progressively self-deceived. My emotions will grow more and more selfish, and my choices will become more and more self-destructive. I recently reread Ernest Hemingway's book, The Sun Also Rises. I read it as a young man, and now I'm reading it as a mature man. When I read it as a young man, it seemed like a big adventure to me. Getting on a train, going to Spain, going up in the mountains and fishing for trout, going to bullfights. It all seemed like an adventure to me. When I read it at where I am now, I recognize that every major character in that book is hopeless. Hopeless. They're all hopeless for a different reason, but they're hopeless. In fact, Hemingway's generation was called the lost generation. I believe we are a lost generation. I believe that we're haunted by loneliness. We have an undescribed sense of emptiness within us. We're confused about life. We are guided by our insecurities and nameless anxieties. This lost existence makes our wrong passions more compelling and more compulsive. And then we have this rising inner sense of disaster that we really can't put a hand on. This, because we're unable to name the wisdom of the fear of the Lord, we transmute it into a fear of natural apocalypse. Because we can't say, this is not the way the Almighty wants things to be. There's going to have to be a change and a correction. Because we can't say that, we look for natural reasons why we have this expectation that things are not going to go well. And we invent things like, we're killing the planet and we'll all be dead in 10 years and the planet will look like Mars in 50 years. We come up with fears about mass extinctions and pandemics, when in fact, it's all an expression of damaged souls. With damaged souls, the tyranny of wrong passions, a vague existential sense of disaster, we lose our understanding of what it really means to be truly and wonderfully human. We lose our sense that human doesn't mean perfect, but it does mean something majestic, something noble, something capable of awesome goodness. But God isn't content for us to be a lost generation. And Paul reminded us, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and he seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Could I tell you about the riches of the mercy of God? Your soul is never damaged beyond the riches of God's mercy. I don't know what's happened to you. I know many of you have a story of some very ugly things in your life. I know many of you have been treated terribly, and your soul suffers under it. I don't know what damage has been done to your soul, but I know the riches of the mercy of Christ are greater than that damage, and he's capable of healing it. Your compulsive sin is never greater than his mercy. The sin that we say we're sorry for, and we say we won't do it anymore, and we find ourselves again and again and again in this terrible state. I don't care how compulsive your sin is, the riches of his mercy is greater than your sin. Your rolling regret never taxes his mercy. You know how that happens? Just randomly you remember something and you regret it. Well, then you're triggered and you regret another thing. Anybody? No? My rolling regret never taxes his mercy. His mercy is greater than my regret. My habitual failures don't restrict his mercy. God never says to me, you failed for the last time, dude. Now you're on your own. He always says, my mercies are new for you every single morning. Your apathy doesn't restrain his mercy. The fact that he's not an active part of your life and you're really not interested because you've fallen out of love with God doesn't mean he's fallen out of love with you. He is rich in mercy. The riches of Christ's mercy exceed all the damage that has ever been done to the human soul. And the source of this mercy is the great love with which he loved you. Now, please listen to this, church. God's cure for the damage that life does to my soul is the unlimited and unconditional love of Jesus Christ. Can you hear me? God has a cure. God has an antidote. God has an antibiotic to the infection of the human soul. And it is the unconditional and unlimited love of Jesus Christ. When God rose from the dead, when Christ rose from the dead, that first Easter, God made us alive together with him. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul says that my worst self was crucified with Christ. It died. But the new self that God wants to be, make me purely and wholly human, it is resurrected with Christ. In some way, what is terrible about me died with Christ. And in some way, what is going to be absolutely best about me was resurrected with him on the first day. The 21st century needs to hear that the grace of God makes the human soul healthier than science and technology. I appreciate science and technology. I had a terrible infection and some antibiotic is fixing it. I appreciate that. But my soul needs something better than science and technology. Christ makes my soul more healthy than philosophy and psychology. I believe in both. I went to see a counselor to try to get my head on straight. But please, psychology has never done for me what the grace of Jesus Christ does for me. Performance standards don't make our souls healthy. I know the church holds up these performance standards. If you have to do this and you can't do that. The soul is never made healthy by performance standards. The soul is made healthy by the grace of God. Self-help gurus say, if you'll only follow my 35 easy steps, you will be a healthier person. And sadly, the myth of pharmaceuticals will never make your soul as healthy as the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, church. There isn't a pill that can cure your soul. It can certainly help your mind. It can certainly help your body, but there are no pills for the soul. It requires the grace of Jesus Christ. This grace of God recreates our humanity. And then, Paul said, we are invited to take a seat with him. We are invited at his table because we are more his image than the image of the savage world around us. I sit down at the table of God instead of conforming to the savage law of eat or be eaten. I commune with God instead of chattering with chimps. Because my soul is more like God than it is the herds of the field and the predators of the savannah. The 21st century can only access the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness through Jesus Christ. Paul said, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. If only I could have the rhetorical skill to place a deep understanding in your heart of the simple phrase, the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness. I'm talking to you about the healing goodness of God. It is the richness of his grace and kindness. The resurrection is not another religious self-help scheme. It is a gift of God. Can you hear this? God doesn't want you to be broken by the world you live in. And so when Christ rises from the dead, it's not a self-help scheme. It is a gift. He saves what was ruined and broken in your soul. We don't have to face life with a damaged soul. We can be recreated in Christ. We think higher thoughts. We have purer emotions. We have greater integrity in our choices. This sense of loneliness is replaced by a sense of the presence of God and a divine connection. This sense of emptiness is filled with a sense of a competence and ability. Our sense of confusion is replaced by an understanding of God's purpose and meaning. Our nameless anxiety gives way to a courage in living. And our insecurity collapses in a confidence that God is good and that He loves us and we're able to confront anything that life offers. You have a divine purpose. You have good work to do with Christ. God has a good plan. This isn't random. We're just not rolling through random ages. There is a design for all of this, and you have a place in the design. We realize our true humanity when we begin to live out our divine purpose. And Paul concluded, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You see, it is the kindness of Christ that changes my thinking. It is the kindness of Christ that enriches my emotions. It is the kindness of Christ that guides my choices. The 21st century has a gift that it can only receive from the church. It's this message. God's kindness in grace and mercy is granted to every generation by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our wounds are healed, our souls are restored, and we reconnect with a God-likeness that is supposed to be a natural part of humanity. If you will receive the grace of God this morning, you'll think different thoughts. You'll have different emotions. You'll make different choices. In fact, instead of living in a world of anxiety and confusion, you will be able to say, it is well with my soul. Our dear Heavenly Father, I believe in you. And I pray this morning that people would not have come to church and not sensed something of the riches of your kindness in grace. Pray that we would not leave without whispering without whispering to you from somewhere in our true soul. Help me. Grant me this grace. Heal my wounded soul. Restore me with Jesus Christ. And I ask it for your name's sake. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.